Today on Real Radio.
And then I need to remember that I can follow him. You and I can follow him at all costs. Because we join in with Peter and say, Lord, where do we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. God's good all the time. And that's what I need to remember.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're now in a lesson by Pastor Jack called, God is Always Good. You know, we've heard it 1,000 times. God is good. God is so good. We serve such a good God. But let's admit it. It's most often heard when things seem to be going just right. Yet the part of 1 Samuel chapter 10 that we're looking at sheds light on how, whatever our situation, God works through all situations in the life of the believer for his glory and for our good. So here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called God is Always Good.
Because if you've racked up some years, you've also racked up among the community some opinions, or I should say people who have opinions about you. And listen, have you ever been, if you've ever been misunderstood, raise your hand if you've ever been misunderstood. And does it hurt to be misunderstood? Yeah. I want to say that I've given up on being hurt about being misunderstood, but it's not true. But just when I think I've heard like the most monumental thing of how somebody could have misunderstood me, something bigger happens. And I wake up almost, you know, every other week to find out what I believe and some new thing about my life. That's never happened. It's amazing. People have all these things. The snare of man, the fear of man. It's horrible. It's stupid. It's crazy. Why waste your time? Because if you can get this guy on this side of the sanctuary to think so well of you, everybody else on this side will be thinking bad of you because you've spent too much time with just that guy. And they think now that you got a little clique going over here, a little club. But that's not what I'm doing. But that's what they think you're doing. You're not going to make anybody happy like that. Follow the Lord. Be in awe of God because you're not going to please everybody. And if you think, and if you're going to live your life like that, oh, you're going to have a wounded and disappointing life. And you better get used to rejection because that's what's going to happen. Rather than be trailing behind and, as it were, in a bumper table kind of a setting, take the lead with the Lord, follow him. And if someone follows you because they see Jesus in you, then hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Didn't Paul say, imitate me as I imitate Christ? That's what we're called to do. He's so good to us all the time, even when we fail to honor his name and speak of his greatness. And we have so much to thank him for. Verses 17 to 24, we see here that he's so good to us, even when we're disobedient to him. He reminds us of his goodness. Look at verse 17 through 19. He reminds us of his goodness. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah, and they said to the children of Israel there, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Now listen, this is the Lord speaking. I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of the kingdoms and from those who oppressed you. Verse 19, but you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all of your adversities and your tribulations, and you have said to him, no, set a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans or by your thousands. In other words, get ready. You're going to get what you've asked for. But here, before he does that, God says, okay, I just want to set the record straight. You're going to be rejecting me. You've done that. But I want to remind you what I've done for you. This is very sad. Just set the record straight before the gavel falls in court here. I've done all these things for you, but you rejected me and you want a king to rule over you, an earthly king. that being the case, that's the issue before the court today, then bring all of the nation and parade them in front of the bench today. Isn't that sad? When God was rejected from the nation Israel in the book of Ezekiel, the Spirit and the glory of God departed from the temple in the vision and hovered over the threshold and lingered for a while and then vanished away. Typologically speaking, of God wanted to stay among his people. He wants to stay among us. He wants to stay with you. He wants to stay with me. But there's this thing that if we're going to pursue our own path and shut him down, there's a hesitation even to God's quietness and his retracting from our lives. There's a waiting. There's a patience that he has. It's amazing. He's so good, even in our disobedience. He reminds us of his goodness. Nehemiah did that in Nehemiah chapter 9. You can jot it down or put it next to your margins. Nehemiah 9, verse 15. It says there, and in their hunger, the children of Israel, he gave them bread from heaven. Remember that in the Exodus? And when they were thirsty, he brought forth water from the rock, Nehemiah 9 records. You told them to go out and to take possession of the land that you had sworn to them, to lift them by your great hand. But they, our forefathers, became arrogant. They became stiff-necked against God and disobeyed his commands. They refused to listen to him, and they failed to remember all of his miracles that he had performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them. Even when they cast for themselves an image, a calf, and said, "This is our God, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt," or when they committed awful blasphemies, because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the wilderness. Isn't God good all the time? Even in that setting, in the Exodus. And Nehemiah says, hey, remember this? In Psalm 26, verse 7, Psalm 26, 7 says, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all of your wondrous works. That's what we're to be doing. And God reminds us of his goodness. And I'm wondering, if we were to make a list, if you were to go home tonight and make a list of his goodness, what has God been good to you about? I know this, that in my first draft of that note of goodness, I know this, my first draft of the note of goodness is going to be kind of worthless. You want to know why? The best stuff and the most, I wouldn't even be able to write down in the first draft. It'd just be some things that just spike into my head rather quickly. But if I sat and meditated and thought about how good God has been to me over the course of my 43 years, it blew my mind. And that list, don't you think that list would grow so long, more and more, as time went on? And you might be thinking, boy, I wish I could get my teenager or my child to think like that. Well, what do you think God feels like, huh? He's done so much for us. And we need to be praising him and thanking him and so grateful. But you know what? It's so hard. If you're a parent, you know this. It is so, so painful. And there's nothing you can do about it. And that is when you have an ungrateful child. If you have a child who stays out late, you can fix that. If you have a child that needs their mouth washed out with soap because of language, you can do that. If you have a child that needs the spanking according now, gee, thank you, Harvard. Yeah, thank you. The government says now it's okay to spank. Did you see that on the news this week? Well, the Bible's right after all. Now all these poor poor disgruntled and messed up parents are trying to find Dr. Spock now to beat him up with a spanking. But yes, now the government has recognized it's good to spank your kid in love. It's the Bible was right all along. That's amazing. But here's the deal. Here's the thing. You can't do anything about an ungrateful child. There's nothing you can do. Yeah, you pray and don't stop praying. But what do you do when someone's ungrateful? What do you do? You can take the stuff away that they have, they don't care. You can give them more stuff, they don't care. You can make them sit in the corner, they don't care. They're ungrateful. And Israel had become ungrateful. Very tragic thing. Verses 20 to 22, we see here that God often grants us our request. And you guys, be careful about this. God is so good all the time, yes. But listen, he will often grant us our request. And that request, by the way, may not be good. When Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. So they called Benjamin out, you know, all the thousands of them. Benjamin, step forward, Samuel says. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near to their families, the family of Matri was chosen. And so that family was called for. And Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought for him, he couldn't be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord. Now remember, they don't want the Lord. We don't want you. We want a man. Hey, where is that guy anyway? Can't find him. Well, it says God. They don't want God, but now they're talking to God. Is this funny? If it wasn't so sad. Hey, we can't find our man that's going to lead us. God, can you help us? Therefore, they inquired of the Lord, has the man come yet, Lord? And the Lord answered and said, there he is, hiding among the equipment. Isn't that what it says? Oh, lead us on, mighty warrior. He's hiding among the equipment. When I say that God often gives us what we request, I mean this in the negative sense. So are you kidding? I am not kidding. In Psalm 100, verse 6, you're going to want to jot this down because you're going to think I'm kidding. In Psalm 106, verses 7 to 15, it says, our fathers in Egypt didn't understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but they rebelled by the sea, by the Red Sea. Nevertheless, you saved them for your name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. The Lord rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of their enemies. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words and they sang his praise, but they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. What was their request? We want meat. We want this. We want that. Remember when they're crying for meat? We're sick of this manna. Remember that? Manna. The word manna means, what is it? We're sick of this. What is it food? It was angel's food, I think, as far as we can tell. Came down from heaven. Wake up in the morning, there's your food right there. Scoop it up. They did everything with it, I'm sure, that they could cook and make. But they said, listen, we want meat. Moses, you better get us some meat. And God says, all right, Moses, scoot over. And God says, it says in the Bible that God caused a strong wind to blow all night long. And the wind blew all night until in the morning, quail from the ground to about 3 feet high covered the land to such a degree that in any direction that a Hebrew walked for one day was nothing but quail. And it said that they picked up sticks and they began to beat these quail out of the sky. And they had so much meat that it says while they were eating it, it started to come out of their nostrils. And it says in that the judgment of God fell upon them and he sent leanness upon their soul in their souls. And many men were stricken dead because they demanded rather than rest in the goodness of God. Be careful. very, very important. And then we'll end going down to verse 27 here. Verse 24, we'll go down to verse 27. And Samuel said to all the people, "Did you see him whom the Lord has chosen? That there is no one," listen to Samuel, "there is no one like him among all the people." So all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king!" Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him whose hearts God had touched. Isn't God good? But some rebels said, "How can this man save us?" So they despised him and brought him no presents. But he, that is Saul, held his peace. God is good all the time. That being the case, there's some things that I need to apply to my own life. The number one thing is I need to always be willing to take an honest look at myself. Why? Because if God's good all the time, and I, being a man, am not good hardly at all, then I think I need to yield to God's leading and God's perspective of things. I need to take an honest look at myself. Secondly, I need to take a healthy look at God. Was he not able to deliver them through the Red Sea and bring them out to the other side? You guys, is that the same God that lives in the Old Testament who lives in the New? If God can part the Red Sea, then can't he meet that dilemma in our lives? You see, I used to make fun of the children of Israel. What's wrong with them? I mean, he's there with the pillar of fire. There's a cloud that covers them by day, and they don't even believe in him. Well, wait a minute. They had to go through a Red Sea. It's big. And I've never had to run from Pharaoh's army. And yet, boy, I'll make fun of them, and I'll criticize them at the drop of a hat. But I wonder, after they got across, if they could have looked ahead and said, "What's wrong with you, Jack? He just got us through the Red Sea, and look, there's a bunch of horses and stuff floating in the sea out there, and bits and pieces of Pharaoh's troops, and you're panicking about your little five and dime deal? What's wrong with you?" You see, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I need to have a healthier look of him, healthier view of him. I need to make a more accurate assessment of life. What's going on? Is God in my life? Is he leading? Is he guiding? I need to realize God's called us. God's called me. He's called you. And then I need to remember that I can follow him. You and I can follow him at all costs. Because we join in with Peter and say, "Lord, where do we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." God's good all the time. And that's what I need to remember.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called "God is Always Good." It's a look at the latter part of 1 Samuel chapter 10, and we'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's Friday, and that means in just a few minutes we're going to hear another Ask Pastor Jack segment, but first,
he who blesses Israel is blessed of God.
Beginning in Genesis 12 and throughout Scripture, believers are commanded to be a comfort to God's people.
We are grateful for this evening and the people that you've brought to us, all to stand for the defense of Israel.
Introducing the DVD, Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity.
We stand together here in America, a nation very unique, like Israel, established by God.
Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity. Features Pastor Jack and guest speakers like radio talk show host Dennis Prager.
The ignorance of the Bible is so staggering and so frightening.
Congressman Gary Miller.
In order to understand Israel, you have to broaden perspective beyond just being a student of the Bible. It's important to learn the lessons of history.
Yaki Lopez.
We are hopeful that this one, which followed 11 other ceasefires that were broken by Hamas, we are hopeful that this one will last, because we're a peace-loving nation. We seek peace, and we love peace, and we want peace.
For your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio, you'll get the DVD, Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click the button on the right there that says Special Offer. Or call us, our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Ask for the DVD by name, Americans for the Defense of Israel, A Night of Solidarity. That's at realradioactive.org. All right, time for our Friday feature called Ask Pastor Jack. It's a great way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. Just send your question to askpastorjack at realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack at realradioactive.org. Sometimes we get to pull Pastor Jack into the studio here. Sometimes you'll hear him give his answer from the pulpit. Here's today's question. It's quite brief. The listener writes, Pastor Jack, how does fasting fit into our devotional life?
Fasting is a freakish, amazing, and to me it's unexplainable. I know doctors will try to tell you, chemists will try to tell you why this happens. When you fast, there's a profound sense of separation from the world that you feel. You'll feel like you're almost an alien from this planet, and clarity. The greatest thing about fasting is clarity. You get mental, spiritual clarity. Like you don't know in your normal living. Fasting. There's no set rule. You know, should you fast on certain? There's no rule. There's all kinds of different fasts in the Bible, from flat out no food. Some people can't do that because you have diabetes or hypoglycemic or something like that. You have to be careful. You need to talk to your doctor. Not everybody can fast. But some people who have certain blood disorders and they can't do that. You know what you can do? You can fast. You can fast like coffee for a day. Or you can fast like Daniel did. Daniel fasted the king's delicacies, the gourmet foods that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to give Daniel. Daniel said, I'm not going to eat those. And we know from the Bible, 21 days, Daniel had been eating he had been eating a diet of water and vegetables. That's a fast. But you know your body, but a fast, if you've got a reason, don't fast to lose weight. That's not a fast. That's a diet. If you need to make a decision, if you detect, like, my life's falling apart, it seems like the world's crashing and what's going on, that's a great time to start fasting. God, I need to know what's happening. When you look at fast in the scriptures, it's always for that person to find out what God wants to do, and or God, our nation, for example, Jeremiah and others, our nation is going to destruction. I gotta have your heart, God, speak to me. And there's fast where you are just so grieved. I hope you, look, none of us is gonna get out of this life unscathed. We're all gonna suffer pain and sorrow. And I can just tell you from recent events, I never thought about fasting regarding this thing I'm going through. I'm going through a time where it's very trying. And I didn't even think, well, I need to fast. You know what happened? The event is so painful to my heart that I don't want to eat. It's not a diet. I'm so grieved, I'd rather talk to God than eat. So don't get some, you know what? There's a great book for you to read. It's the only book I've ever read that is biblically balanced and right on. It's called God's Chosen Fast. You ought to read that book. God's Chosen Fast. I don't know who the author is. Just Google it. God's Chosen Fast. Little book, brilliant. Very wise.
Okay, that's Pastor Jack on the topic of how fasting fits in with doing devotions. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack at realradioactive.org. You might hear the answer from the pulpit. You might hear it when we pull him into the studio. Ask Pastor Jack at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.